auction these off. I know some of you guys are tired. There was a pastor one Sunday, their church was struggling financially. And so he got up and, as pastors don't like to do, beg for money. And so he asked the people to prayerfully consider giving a little extra in the offering plate. He said, whoever gives the most during the service will get to pick three hymns. Plates were passed. Money was in the plates. It was all good. $1,000 bill was in the offering plate. And he was excited. He couldn't contain himself. And so he stood up, told the people, man, I'm just so happy. I'd like to personally thank the one who put the $1,000 bill in the offering plate. All in the back was old Rosie. She kind of raised her hand shyly. And he said, well, why don't you come on down? And she made her way down to the pastor. He told her how wonderful she was and the blessing it was. And for this, go ahead and pick the three hymns for the service. She got all excited, looked around. She said, I'll take him, him, and him. So Mr. Schrock tried to give you some excuses. I'm trying to help you out. So maybe if you stay awake today, I'll let you pick him, him, and him. I don't know. But thought that was fitting for our college activity tomorrow. Might even be wet. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I want to talk this morning with this idea in mind, when do you and when do I need a revival? When do we need aroused, if you will? I'll call the sermon Comfortable Christianity. Comfortable Christianity. Now, I don't know what you thought when I brought a pillow in here. Some might have said, hey, I'll buy that. I'll take that. Brother Amos is preaching. We definitely are going to need one of those. Maybe you thought I was trying to be like Stephanie in the back there and just, you know, trying to fit in with her. But I think, and I know we preachers say this a lot, this might be one of the most important things. I think this is probably one of the most dangerous things for Christians, is for us to get comfortable in our Christian life. We talk a lot about CCM, the dangers, and if you follow David Cloud, you'll see all sorts of videos and books and things about CCM. But I want to talk today about what I call CCL, Comfortable Christian Living. And hopefully give you a whole bunch of things that I want you to write down today, that when you become comfortable, there's some characteristics that you're going to have. And this is, I'm just going to buzz through a whole bunch of points and see how far we get. But I want to warn you, I want to really arouse you a little bit out of sleep. You get busy, you get tired, and you start to just fit in. I remember when certain freshmen come and their parents are here and there's this deer in the headlights look. And I usually will say something like this. Don't worry about all that's going on, just jump in. Just get busy. And you're thinking, maybe some of you, I've never been on a bus route, and I remember, I think it was Heidi or Hildy, they got put on a Gary bus route, and I don't think in Lee, Maine, they've ever seen people of other colors like that. And so they get on a bus route, and I remember them coming back the first week on that Sunday, and there's, you know, 100 of them, and that's almost as many as in Lee, Maine. And just the look on their face, like, what did I just get myself into? And then maybe Mr. Ryder, whoever it was, says, I want you to get up and tell the story, or I want you to get up and play a game, or I want you to get up and lead songs. And you might remember how nervous you were that first time. For me, I was, I know I've told this before, but I used to be shy. I did have that problem a while back, about 16 years old, but I blame it all on Mr. Derek Edwards, because they put me on his bus when I was a junior in high school, and he would do something like this. If I forgot the game, he'd stand up and say, well, Mr. Eric doesn't care about you guys, so we're not going to have a game because he's a loser. I mean, that's kind of just put me on the spot. And then he'd have me get up and lead the songs, and I remember holding those visuals up in front of me because I didn't want to look at the kids because I don't sing well, first of all. And so I'm standing there, my knees were knocking, and I remember how nervous I was just to get up and lead songs. A few years later, I was approached about taking the Hobart bus route, being Mr. Snyder's second man. He was in Lake Station for a lot of years. And I remember the weight of responsibility I felt taking charge of that bus route and just praying week in and week out and the nerves. But I'll be honest with you. A year or two down the road, the prayer wasn't quite as fervent. I didn't prepare the way that I did when I first was handed the responsibility. And I'll tell you why, because I've been doing this for 52 weeks. I've been doing this for a year and a half. I mean, now I can get up and I can tell a Bible story and I can just look at it real quick on Sunday morning on the way out to the route because, you know, I got this. And what began to happen, not just on a bus route, not just in college, not just in different ministries, was I found myself getting comfortable. And I want to warn you today that this is a trap that I know I have fallen in and I still to this day find myself falling into, because it's easy to get comfortable in a marriage. It's easy to get comfortable as a parent. It's easy to get comfortable as a senior in college because after all, here's the freshman struggling. I've got this. And you find yourself getting into some situations that we're going to see this Bible character we have finding himself falling into. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. And I want to be an encouragement. I might get a little feisty at times, but just pray that this can be something you say, maybe I'm comfortable, maybe I am in this situation. We'll see all the way at the end how God can change you from being comfortable to getting busy all over again. Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning. I need you. I pray that I would preach this not in the flesh. I pray that I'd preach this as you have preached it to me. It's been very challenging for me personally. And I don't want to find myself getting comfortable. I want to find myself serving you with every bit and every ounce of energy that I have. So I ask that you would use this message in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you could turn there. From the time we come across the character David, we see a young man, at least at the beginning, who was very busy and very active. Whether it be on the backside of the wilderness or the backside of the desert, he was watching his father's sheep. To the next phase, he was carrying cheese to his brothers. To the next phase, going and standing there by the Valley of Elah, watching nothing happen in the battle. We see him saying, hey, guys, let's do something. He was stirred about that. Killing Philistines so he could be the son-in-law of the king. Playing a harp for an oppressed king of Israel, being chased all over by King Saul, conquering people while being chased around, becoming king, and then leading people. If you were going to today in today's society, make a motion picture, I think it'd probably sell pretty good, something like this: The Adventures of David, Man After God's Own Heart. Why? Because there's adventure there. There's activity. There's lots of wonderful things, and I know growing up, hearing the stories of David and Goliath and seeing some of the things that went on in his life, I would say that's the type of life that I want. But our text this morning draws us to chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, verses you are very familiar with, no doubt. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the times when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah." But here it is. "But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." Now, we are going to give you a whole bunch of points from chapter 11. We'll touch on chapter 12. But can I say this as we begin? The life of a Christian is a life of work. If you don't like to work, if you are lazy, you need to step out of the ministry at this time. Because Paul says it this way.
If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth what? A good work.
Now, we live in a society today where laziness has taken over. We, you and I both, don't look at me like a bullfrog in a hailstorm, as I heard it put years ago. You and I like to be coddled. We'd like to be spoiled. We like to be taken care of, don't we? I laugh because we have guard duty. And every 2 weeks, we have a two-hour shift. And it's amazing some of the cots that some of the men on guard bring in. I mean, they've got air mattresses. They got this setup. It takes them an hour to put it together, and then they have just an hour left. Because you know why? They come and, man, I don't really want to sleep on the floor. I mean, 2 hours or 3 hours on the floor just ruins my week. And so they go out and buy these fancy cots, and I chuckle and laugh. Here we are on guard duty, but yet we want to be comfortable. And, you know, we can look at our lives, no matter what we do, where we are, all of us, are you with me? Want to be comfortable. But the Christian life is a life of work. The Christian life is a life of battle. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Now listen, regardless, when you're saved, you already joined the Lord's army. But you choose which type of soldier you're going to be. So the life of a Christian is a life of work. It's a life of battle. And it is a life of a long distance run. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, some of us are okay with running to the refrigerator and back. I'll tell you what, man, I can tell my kids, hey, go to the fridge and get this. But if I say go up the stairs and there's this lake that you need to travel around, for some reason, they're ill. For some reason, the knees hurt, right, Gideon? For some reason, there's just all these ailments that show up, and Dad, you don't understand, and so forth. You know why? Because we're going to run to do the things that we want to, but when it comes to the Christian life and things that make us uncomfortable, we have all sorts of, as we heard yesterday, excuses. I tell you what, I love to hear good preaching about other people's sins. You with me? Mr. Armacross gets up and he says, some of you just need to do this. Like, come on, preach on, brother. And then Dr. Mitchell gets up and preaches about this. And I'm like, man, that's so good for them. Man, why won't they just arouse themselves out of sleep and hit the altar and lay it down? Man, I tell you what, they just need Jesus. But when the preacher's preaching at me, I find myself really quiet. And there's all this, is he interpreting the scriptures correctly there? Now, I don't even know Greek, but I start thinking Greek when they're preaching about my sin. And I tell you what, my wife is unbelievable. She smites me under the fifth rib often. It's like, doo, 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 and I got bruises and so forth. But the problem is this. When I am preaching about the sins of the teenagers, and in just about a week and a half, man, we're just going to scathe you. Yeah, preach on, Pastor Wagner. We enjoy it. And you like, I don't know what Mrs. Parrish preached about to you yesterday, but if she got one of you girls, the other one's sitting there like, yep, carnal goats. Yep, sick them. Because we're okay with that. But for some reason, we become patient and understanding with our sins. Levi, does Luke ever drive you nuts? There should have been no hesitation there because I already know. But I know he looks at Luke, little fourth grade pipsqueak, fifth grade, whatever he's in. Oh, little nut. Geek? Dork? Now you have those same problems. You've just fine-tuned them. And so when Dad or Mom come and say, Levi, you're acting like Luke. How could you say such a thing? All I'm saying is this, as we get into the message, we find ourselves comfortable with our sins. And we stand in awe of others when they do something. How could they do such a terrible thing? And yet we have some of the very same things
going on in our hearts and in our minds. I'm preaching to me, and if I'm preaching to you, you can nod your head with me. Don't allow your sin to be comfortable in your heart. I'm going to be very careful if I allow strangers into my house. Why? Because I don't know them. And here's a guy that might come in. My daughters get to be 17 or 18 years old, and this guy comes in. I don't know him, and he's looking at my daughter, and he's trying to get her attention. I want to rip his little head off. I would be very conscious of the fact, here's a guy, and you know, how foolish would I be? Well, say, well, you know, here's the guy that, you know, was in prison for doing terrible things. Well, he hasn't made any moves to my daughter. I'm just going to let him be comfortable in my house. No. You would say, you're going to get him out as quickly as possible. Yet we do the very same things with our sin. It's there. It's sitting on the couch right in the confines of my heart's living room. And it hasn't made any terrible advances. I haven't gotten caught yet. It seems to be comfortable. Are you with me? We need to get uncomfortable with sin. Quickly, number one, a comfortable Christian has no problem with allowing everyone else to do his work. A comfortable Christian has no problem allowing everyone else to do his work. Look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. So here's David at a time when who was supposed to go forth to battle? Kings were supposed to go forth to battle. If I remember right, Ishbosheth was not around. Saul was not around. These other men that tried to raise their heads up while David was coming into the kingdom, they weren't there. I think there was only one king in Israel. His name was David. But yet when it was his time to go to battle, what did he do? He sent somebody else. Now, if I remember right, when David showed up at the Valley of Elah, and nothing was going on, did he get annoyed? Hey, what's that big galoot doing over there? He's defying the living God. Hey, is there not a cause, folks? Will somebody just come out from behind the bushes and grab a sword and go get that nut? You know why? Because he was busy, he was active, but now he gets a little comfortable maybe. And he says, you know what, I know it's time for battle. For some reason, he's not out leading the job and saying, these are the enemies of Israel. No, he sends somebody else to do his work. Now listen, are you satisfied on a bus route when you sit back and somebody else, and I know we have schedules and so forth, but when there's a need to fill, you sit there and say, man, I hope somebody else gets up and does the program. There's that kid over there. I hope somebody else takes care of the problem, and I can go on and on. Listen, when there's a need and you make yourself uncomfortable, jump up and do something about it. But when you get comfortable in the Christian life, you're okay with everybody else doing your job. Number two, a comfortable Christian has time to be idle. You know what? He stayed away from the battle. If there's anything that I stress, and I know it's preached and preached and preached, what you're going to get here at Fairhaven is this concept of work. And if you are one that always avoids working, you're missing out on the philosophy that we have here. It's called ministry. You with me? Well, I mean, there's like 8 guys going over there. I don't have time for that. I think I just need to go take a nap. There's always something going on, guys. There's always something to do. Man, I tell you what, I love when people say, hey, what's going on next? Hey, can I help here? Hey, that's what ministry is. But what happens is when you get comfortable with your Christian life, you have time to do nothing. Hey, this is great. David needed some me time, I guess. The Bible doesn't tell us why he stayed at Jerusalem, but he needed some downtime, if you will. Thirdly, quickly, a comfortable Christian misses out on some battles and some successes. Notice what happens again in verse number 1. And they, not David, Joab, the servants, and Israel, they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. Now, are you okay with being a spectator? I have the hardest time standing on the sidelines at a soccer game, especially when we're down 12 to nothing. I'm standing there, my, Mr. Schreiber and I are like, oh, man. Oh, and I'm just standing there. You know what? I want to jump in. And you guys, I think tomorrow you start basketball. I don't want to go in the gym because I know if I do, I'm going to go embarrass myself. I'm going to try to play. And you're all going to laugh at me. Because there's something about being a spectator that's just not fun. There's nothing worse than somebody saying, man, we were out on bus route today, and this person got saved. This person trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Man, they had their whole discipleship lesson done, and they come back excited, and there you are and say, hey, what did you do today? Well, I got a good nap. You miss out. You lose. There's something called intensity that when you do something, why not get intense about it? Now, our pastor, Pastor Damon, is a unique individual. I don't know if he's ever gotten tired in his life. I'm serious. I watch him. I'm like, I get tired just looking at him. He just goes and goes. But I'll tell you one thing that he's helped me with. It's this idea, if you lead songs, you can be intense leading songs. When you jump on the bus route, don't just sit there, be intense. These kids need to see that those people in front of the bus route, they love Jesus. There's something about not being a spectator. But see, David sat back and he got to hear word. Oh, wow, they won. Huh, I missed out on that. Oh, well. He got comfortable. Quickly, number four. A comfortable Christian will always find himself in wrong situations. Let me explain. Where should he have been? In the battle with his soldiers. Yet, we find him enjoying the company of the opposite sex. When you have nothing to do, someone will show up to fellowship with you. And I'll tell you this, it's probably not the best company. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You see, I don't see Joab and his servants and the men of Israel having a problem with lusting. I mean, there's all them people are covered with armor. It's kind of hard. Excuse me. But because David put himself in a comfortable situation where all the men were away battling, he found himself lusting. Not a whole lot of loitering goes on the battlefield. Now, we joke about loitering. I see you guys, you know, after the date, you're kind of walking. Hi. And as you go out the back doors to the parking lot, it's kind of like, oh. And I always say, see you loiter. But why do we emphasize that? Because when you just stand around, it shows you have nothing to do. And you'll find yourself loitering. You'll find yourself getting in trouble when you are a comfortable Christian. Not a whole lot of lingering as Lot got comfortable in the city of Sodom, calling them brethren. Let me stop here for a minute. The first time you saw a homosexual, what did you think? First time I really saw it, I was in Utah. Sorry, Utahites. I was coming from the Grand Canyon with the college students, climbing the Grand Canyon, drove up to Utah real fast, get to the airport, and I got out of the vehicle and I was walking to the airport, and two guys were just lip locking. Yeah. And literally out loud. I say, sick! So they could hear me. Talk about abortion. Talk about these, what we call terrible sins. Now watch. They used to shock us. They used to shock us. Now it's just part of our government now, right? See, what happens, you get comfortable, you'll find yourself in wrong situations. Quickly, I've got to move along. A comfortable Christian will always involve others with his sin and try to get them to sin along with him. Notice what it says in verse 3. And David sent. See, he's not even man enough to go do his own sinning. He's got to get other people involved. He sent and inquired after the woman. So he had to get some messengers involved and say, go, find out who that lady is. Verse 4, and David sent messengers and took her. So one came back and said, hey, she is the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And says, okay, I've got that information. And he sends more, plural, more messengers to go get her. He involves her in the situation. Again, she came in unto him. Notice, he's not doing anything. He's just sitting in the comforts of his own palace, in his own house, sending people here to do his bidding. He involves this lady's husband. Now get this. Let this. He goes so far to get him drunk. To sin. To cover up his sin. That's verses 6 through 13. We're not going to take the time to do it, to read it. He involves his general, verses 14 to 17. And he says, hey, go ahead and send the men ahead and then retreat. Leave Joab up at the forefront, or I'm sorry, Uriah up at the forefront and kill him. Wow. See the spiral of what's happening here? All because of getting comfortable. And I may not say this at the end just for sake of time, but all of this takes place because of inactivity. And I'll tell you this, and I'll tell myself this. We have no idea where our sin will take us when we stop getting active for the Lord. I hear it, and I frankly get tired of it. Of this preacher did this, and this pastor did this, and this person did this. You know what happened? They got comfortable in their role of leadership where people would listen to them and do what they told them to do, and now, hey, I don't need God as much. I've got this. This is a danger every day for us. Comfortable Christian is only concerned about covering his own sin and not concerned about the lives of others. Let's look at this real fast. Chapter 11, verse 18. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh to the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall and so forth? Verse towards the end. Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. That was supposed to be their response. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent for him. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Now get his response. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Now, jog my memory just a little bit. Do you remember when David was pushed to kill Saul? No. I would never touch the Lord's anointed. But now his concern is about himself. His concern is about covering his own sin. Huh. He's dead. When you start worrying about only yourself, you don't care about what happens to other people. Activity and serving and battling will cause you to be concerned about your fellow classmates, the people you minister to. Man, they look like they're struggling. I'm going to go to them and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to go to them and say, is there something? You know what that would do to Fairhaven Baptist College and Fairhaven Baptist Academy? Man, that would change. You know why? Because now you're concerned about your fellow classmates and those that are serving right alongside with you. I've heard and I understand that in the military, you don't leave your comrades even if they're dead. You take them with you. You know why? Because there's camaraderie there. Hey, we're serving our country and we're serving. We lift up higher a better country, do we not? We're serving Jesus. It'd be good if some of you juniors and seniors would grab a hold of some of you 7th and 8th graders and say, hey, we need to pray for you. Let's help you. Man, what that would do. But you know what? I got my life to worry about. Who cares? Oh, they got kicked out of the youth group. Psst. Serves them right. Whatever happened to somebody coming alongside? Man, I'm so thankful people did that for me when I got booted out of the youth group. But man, I had certain people that I still revere today come along. Oh, they didn't give me money and they didn't take me out to eat, but they did say, Eric, I'm praying for you. If there's anything you need, and you know what? I ran to them. And that's what helped me. I'm glad they weren't just concerned about their one little ministry, but they saw a little young man struggling and fighting the devil and trying to do his best, do the best he could and not doing very well, but they came alongside to help. But we get selfish. We start worrying about our own needs, our own problems. Here's another thought. A comfortable Christian's, let me say this so hopefully you can follow. A comfortable Christian's inactivity for the Lord will lead to activity against the Lord. Now, I know sometimes we think we're busy. Let me explain it this way. You will be busy. You will find something to do. David walked on the roof. He was walking. David found time to write letters. If you read and study, we don't have time to read all these. He sent. There was some activity there. He committed the sin, of course. He made Uriah drunk. He took the time to comfort Bathsheba after her husband was killed. But can I say it real simple? All that busyness and all that activity, if you read the last verse of chapter 11, it says this, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You see, you can be busy and you can be active all for your pleasure, and it's not going to make God happy. Your inactivity for the Lord will always lead to activity against the Lord. Jesus said it this way, he that is not with me, help me out. But there's also the phrase right after that I found interesting. And he that gathereth not with me, scattereth abroad. So if I am not gathering things for the kingdom of God and for the work of the Lord, what I am therefore doing is scattering that. That caught my attention really, really good. Just last night and the day before as I was going over this. When I am not serving the Lord, I'm actually in opposition to Him. That should cause us to wake up a little bit. Lastly, a comfortable Christian is quick to judge others' sins. Remember when Nathan brought a parable to him? There was a stranger that came and went to this man and so forth. I'm not going to, chapter 12 is the parable, verses 1 through 14. And this traveler came to the rich man and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb, the one lamb that he had, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Verse 5 of chapter 12. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, I mean, he is spiritual, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. What a jerk! We know the response, don't we? Thou art the man. The Bible came to David very quickly when it was somebody else's sin. Exodus 22, verse 1, don't turn there. It says this, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. The Word of God came to my mind. I see one time where God allowed somebody to pick their punishment for sin. It was David. Remember when he numbered the people? And God said, you have three options. That's the only time I see God allowing somebody to pick their punishment for sin. Here, David pronounces what judgment should be, and God allows it to stick. He'll pay fourfold. God said, okay. So you're going to lose son number one, son number two, son number three, and son number four. Now, isn't it sad that the guilty one often lives on and the innocent one always pays for it? I think of drunk drivers very often. They intoxicate themselves, go out, they kill the innocent person. Now let this be a weight on your heart today. One day, you'll have children. And your comfortable lifestyle, if you keep it that way, will affect them. I know it's more weighty to me because I have four children. But when I read fourfold, 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 I thought of that little knucklehead over there. I thought of Titus. I thought of Marissa. And I thought of Karis. I thought, you know what? When I get comfortable, all four of those are going to be affected. That kind of shakes me up a little bit. So I guess the thought I leave with you is this. Do you ever think David thought taking it easy for a while would result in adultery, murder, and the loss of four children? But praise the Lord, after all this mess, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 26, and Joab fought against Rabbah. That was mentioned in verse chapter 11. Verse 27, and Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. And notice verse 29, and David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. In chapter 11, all we see is they set a siege about the city. They just kind of surrounded the city. But now David gets active, and the Bible says they took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, and the weight thereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron and made them pass through the brick kiln. And thus he did unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. You know what he did? He went through a whole lot of mess, didn't he? But he got active all over again. Now, we don't have to get in all the mess that he did. If you're stuck a little bit in your lethargy and in your apathy, can I kind of arouse you and say, you know what? I've gotten comfortable. I've sat back long enough. It's time for me to get up. It's high time for me to awake out of a sleep and do something. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. That's why the disciples fell apart when the test came, because they got comfortable. Can I say this? Could you just get rid of the pillow, the spiritual pillow, if you will? Can you set it aside? I believe in rest, but our rest is to come. That rest is coming. I believe in being comfortable when it's time to be comfortable. But listen, it's not time to be comfortable right now. It's time to say, you know what? I'm going to put aside my sleeping bag. I'm going to put aside my blankets. I'm going to step up. I want to get active all over again for Jesus. If you don't, you never know where it's going to take you. Help us, Lord, today. Let this be a challenge and encouragement to all of us here. I know I was a bit general. This idea of being comfortable is general, but maybe there's some here that says, I've sat back. I don't want my life to spiral into who knows what. Can't help but think of our Empowered Youth theme, the idea of our future. We need to be maintaining right now. We can't be comfortable and just say, well, I hope things get better. I hope things work out. There's some work we need to do right now. This is a danger for me just as it is for anybody else. So would you use this in the hearts of all of us today in Christ's name? Amen. Go ahead and stand. Don't wait for the piano. I'm a little minute or two over. If God's dealt with your heart,
just go ahead and come and say, I want to get out of this comfort zone that I feel like I'm in. God, stir me, rouse me. David was a man after God's own heart. Took him down a bad path. Don't tarry still in the comforts of your spiritual home. Let's get back up and get active.